Good morning, everyone. Just want to welcome everyone to the Cambridge Vineyard. For those who are watching online, either today or later on in the week, want to welcome you as well. Today is a bit of a different day for us. We have with us our guest from Chicago, Illinois. Is it Chicago or Evanston? Which is the proper?
Evanston.
But you're from the Chicago area, suburb. That is Eric and Vinay Savig. So, and their children, Aliana and Elijah. I got that right? 100%. Look at that. Not bad. Anyway, I want to welcome everyone to our service here. So as everyone knows, we've been on a process here with me stepping out into retirement come August. We've set up a transition team who've worked alongside with the senior leadership team as we've done a process of looking to see who would be able to come on. There's process steps as you just narrow down. We got to a place where we were now, if we're looking at a couple or a person, at some point we need to have them in, like we need to see them, because Zoom is good, you know, only for so much, right? And it just doesn't cut it. I'm so thankful for Zoom, because otherwise it would have been all phone calls and that wouldn't work. So we have arrived at this place where we have invited Eric and Vinay Savig up to our church to spend time with us. It's an, you'd call it a working interview, but simply meaning they are looking at us, we are looking at them. It allows them time to, you know, scope out the area, because that's always an interesting thing to do, to see what is this city all about or this region. And for them, it's what is this country all about? Right? Yeah, but you know, taxes pick up garbage. So. Anyway, Eric and Vinay, if I could have you guys come up. And you just flip that up.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm a little tired. We drove like 10 hours. So I
got here yesterday.
Yeah. I am Vinay. This is my husband, Eric. So as Scott said, we're candidates here for the lead pastor role. And we are just really excited to be here. We're really enjoying our time already. I'm vibing with the worship. It was really, really wonderful. You guys have a really special space here. So thanks for sharing this time with us.
And if you want a chance to get to know us more, like Scott said, we're going to be here next week, including after the service at the family table lunch. So there'll be a little bit more time to get to know us, ask questions. Hopefully it will answer some. But for now, we've been following your Sunday services, including the series you're right in now called Beyond the Veil. So if you're wondering what that was, because it's your first time, let me give you a brief example from the Bible to give you some context and illustrate for a second. Then I'll hand things off to Vinay. So in Jesus' time and before that even, the Jewish people had a temple they'd go to worship. Not super unlike you worship here. And in the center of that temple, in the holiest of holies, there was a veil, or almost like a curtain. And very few could enter there. Very few, and just the special priests that could, even they had to go through a number of rituals and cleansing and things to purify themselves, because nothing impure could go in there. So right beyond that veil was the holy presence of God and all of his goodness. So in many ways, your series, what I can tell, is about how do we connect with that holy God beyond the veil. The hard question is, how do we do that when God is so holy, and that how do we do it without being burned up? So I'll let Vinay address that. And I'll be back next Sunday on Palm Sunday and talk a little bit more about Jesus and his journey to Jerusalem and towards his trials there. All right. Let me pray for you.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
God, thank you for bringing us here safely this time so far, and these wonderful people here, everything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And thank you for Vinay, the gift that she is and the gift that she's, the many gifts that she has and that she's been able to minister and bless people with. May that just happen today. May she connect with you, God, and with them, and may you use her and your voice through her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Faye. I really like him. Okay, big fan. So when I preach, I really don't love the, like, standing up on the stage, I'm talking down to, and I know so much because I'm a pastor vibe. That's not me. So I like to just pretend, which this is perfect. I like to pretend that I'm hosting you guys at my house. We're having dinner, shoes are off. I've made something delicious. And we're just having an intimate conversation with friends. We just happen to be talking about how great Jesus is during this meal. So let's have that vibe. And with that vibe, I feel like you can't really relax and take shoes off unless you know something about me. You know nothing about me. So I came up with fast facts about Vinay, real quick. So I'm from the Chicagoland area, Evanston. Grew up there, born and raised. My dad was a police detective there, and my mom was a flight attendant for United. But we've lived in a lot of places in the United States. And I like my next big fact. I love cheese, like a lot. I'm talking about my cheese before my marriage. I love cheese, like big fan of cheese. If you want to get to my heart, give me cheese. I love it. That's what we'd be eating at my table if we were here at my house. I spend a lot of time with my family. I really like to cook. It's like cooking relaxes me. I was a really, really bad cook until I had kids and realized I had to feed them. And I couldn't just give them like Doritos. So then I learned, oh, I should probably cook. So I love cooking. I love reading, big on books. And right now I'm finishing my master's in clinical counseling. And now, Eric and I have been married for 16 years, and we have two pretty great kids. They keep us on our toes, but I'm a big fan. And I felt called to be a pastor pretty much since high school, and ever since then, I've just been trying to follow the Lord's voice and go where the Spirit leads. So super, super glad to be here. Hopefully you feel like you know me a little bit better, and we're going to switch gears to kind of a depressing topic. We're going to talk about grief today. So I know that your Lenten series is all about looking beyond the veil and what's potentially keeping us from looking past our own circumstances, you know, kind of having that navel gaze thing where you're just constantly stuck in your own place. What else is keeping you from your race with God, like getting to that finish line? I know that every generation says this, but I'm going to say it too. I think that what's going on in the world right now is the worst. It's like a dumpster fire of just despair. We've got war. We've got famine. We've got grief. We've got disease. It's not great. And I finally feel like an old person when I'm like, back in my day, it wasn't this bad. But I'm pretty sure it was that bad, even when I was a kid. I think that society has changed a lot. I think one of the biggest things recently is the COVID pandemic, right? It's 4 years ago, the world changed forever. The whole world, we all got to experience it together. Not a great thing to experience, but we did it together. And when things change like that, or we experience loss, we experience grief. It's very natural to grieve, but sometimes it can be all-encompassing and all-consuming. I'm trying to normalize grief, but we all know how painful, and you can kind of get stuck in that. We're mourning the loss of community. We're mourning the connections that we had prior to 4 years ago. We're just kind of, we're grieving the lives that have been lost. So what do we do with this type of grief? Let's see what Jesus says. So one of my favorite Bible stories about grief is the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So I'm going to be reading from John chapter 11, verses 21 through 26. But I'm going to give you like a little Vinay blurb, if you will. Yes, I name everything after myself. I don't know why, but that's what we're doing today. So, a Vinay blurb. So, there's sisters, Martha and Mary, and they message Jesus telling him that their brother is sick, and they want Jesus to come to heal him. And for various reasons, Jesus doesn't come immediately. This delay, obviously, is not great, because I'm going to give away the story. Lazarus dies. So, they're obviously very upset by this, but then Jesus uses this opportunity to show God's power and his glory. So we're going to read John 11 here, verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Okay. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So in this passage, I think that Martha has the most human response ever. She's grieving. She feels like, Jesus, you could have saved this. You could have fixed this situation. And she's upset. She can't look past her pain. And he just didn't show up on time, or rather the time that she wanted Jesus to show up. And she just can't see the bigger picture. And now Jesus is responding with, your brother will rise again. And it makes sense to me that her response is like, yeah. I know, right? In eternity, we're going to spend eternity together in heaven. That's not fixing my pain right now. I'm in pain. And she's not really allowing the statement to fully impact her. And I know that when I've lost loved ones, though I know well-meaning people are just trying to help, but just being like, you're going to be with them again, and it's going to be okay. I don't know why that just doesn't help me out in the moment, right? In the moment, I'm in pain, and that doesn't help me. So Jesus responds with truth for her. He starts talking about the now and the not yet, the kingdom now and the kingdom to come, and what's beyond the veil. So I just want to read his response one more time in verse 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So Jesus asked her whether she's believing in life beyond the veil, or can she look past her own circumstances and have hope? Martha's eyes are so fixed on her brother's closed tomb, but Jesus wants to move her to the future of the empty tomb of her brother and also eventually of her Savior. Martha and Mary come to believe in Jesus in a much deeper way in this situation. And this gospel story invites us to join with the sisters in their faith journey amidst their own grief. And Jesus' response to grief is hope and faith. So please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't grieve and you should just move on and you shouldn't be sad. And I'm not saying you should give up grief for Lent. Also too late, it's almost Easter. But grief is very difficult, right? It's very real. It can be overwhelming. You can experience grief with many things. You can feel grief when a loved one passes, when relationships end, when there's a change or transition. We even can have anticipatory grief, where you grieve the things to come. So though this is difficult, grief is a necessary process for you to get through the mourning stage, for you to heal. And anyone who's ever experienced a serious loss knows all of those feelings that are associated with it, and they're all very valid. That's the counselor in me. Your feelings are valid. It's okay that you feel that way. It's very normal. I have experienced quite a bit of grief in my years. I always say that grief is an old friend of mine who likes to crop up on me every so often. And I know that process really well of trying to mourn and get through it. I know what it feels like to be unable to pull it together. I know what it feels like to cry out to the Lord, hoping that he'll just fix it and it'll just go away. I know how suffocating the pain of grief can be. And I remember a particular loss that I was struggling with. I just could not get past. And I had a hard time getting out of bed, all those things. It was really, really difficult. I had experienced two deaths that happened over the holidays. So the first one was early December, and a friend that I grew up with died by suicide. 2 weeks later, my aunt, my dad's sister, had two strokes and a heart attack and passed away on New Year's Day. And then 3 weeks later, my oldest brother died unexpectedly. So the holidays were a rough time for me, and I was in so much pain that I felt like I was draped in a veil of grief. Like there was just no way that I could get past this type of pain. And I just kept begging the Lord, please help me. I can't live like this. Like, is this forever? Is this my life forever? And I couldn't do it. So God gave me a dream. And in this dream, this is maybe a couple months after my brother passed. In the dream, we're at my parents' house where I grew up. And there's a knock at the door. I open the door, and it's my brother. He looks young. And not like kid young, but like maybe in his 20s. He looks bright. He looks really happy. The healthiest I think I've ever seen him. He used to have some scars under his eyes, like in real human life, but in my dream, those were all gone. He just looked really beautiful. Obviously, in this dream, I ask him, what are you doing here? How are you here? And he just smiles at me and he says, Binay, I'm here to tell you, you have to let me go. I love you, but you're in so much pain. You have to get past this, okay? I'm with the Lord. I'm okay. I need you to be okay. When I woke up, well, one, I cried a lot, obviously, but it was exactly what I needed. And I know that not everyone's going to get to have that dream. I feel really, really blessed to have that dream. But God was showing me that there is something beyond my pain, beyond the veil, beyond my grief. He was letting me see a little glimpse of what the life is to come. And that my brother is great. He's doing just fine. And I need to move on. So when we believe what the Father says, instead of letting the grief consume us, we're choosing to have hope. Hope in the resurrection, hope that there's more than this, just this world. And even though we're still grieving, we can choose Christ. We can choose to keep stepping toward the Lord. We have to ask the Lord to open our hearts and our eyes, our spiritual eyes. So one of my favorite verses for that is in Ephesians 1:18. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So when God opens up our eyes, the eyes of our heart, we can see hope and we can know that we're not called to despair. We're not called to just live in constant pain and constant grief. God wants to open our spiritual eyes because it will allow hope to seep into our hearts. We will then be able to look beyond the veil. We can now focus on the things to come. Seeing beyond the veil and seeing with our hearts doesn't mean that we don't grieve, right? Life is rough. Like, I'm always so envious of my kids because they still get that nice youth thing and things seem so fun. And I'm like, wait till there's bills. Wait till there's sickness. Like, yeah, no, like, it's a whole other world. Life can be really painful. But in Christ, he knows what we're going through. He doesn't expect us just to get over it. With Martha's story, Jesus is showing them you need to have hope. Do you believe? Martha believed that the resurrection was an event, but Jesus shows her and us the resurrection is a person and happening right now. Martha's knowledge of eternal life was just this abstract idea for her, but Jesus proved that knowledge of eternal life is a personal relationship. Martha thought that victory over death was a future expectation, but Jesus corrects her and showing that victory is a present reality. He'd already conquered death. When a person is raised to new life in Jesus, that person is fully alive in Christ. Jesus is the life and the resurrection of you and I today. So we have been raised to a new life in Christ, right? We've given our lives over to the Lord. and we have life abundant. We're free because he lives. So remember the veil that Eric was talking about in the temple? When Jesus died, the earth shook, and the veil tore in two. The tearing, I mean, there's a lot of scholarly, theological things that the veil represents, but I'm going to focus on what works for me, and the tearing of the veil represented God lifting his own veil and revealing himself to the world, making himself more accessible so that we can reach out for that holiness. Because the veil is gone now, we can walk in freedom. We no longer have to be wrapped in our grief and our pain. We get to choose hope. We don't have to sit in the muck and the mire of the pain of life, but we get to choose hope. I always have this picture in my head of, when I think about this, of being like tied down in mud and just dirty and I'm gross. Not those cool mud spa things, but just like chunky, gross mud. And I just always see like a woman looking up at God, like just looking for that hope. So again, you can still get kind of bogged down by that pain, but we have to have our eyes focused on the Lord, on more. So hope is kind of this invisible string that guides us to the Father's house, to our rest, and into the presence of Jesus. But what does opening our eyes really look like when we're in grief? I'm big on practicals, so I'm going to try to walk you guys through some practicals so it doesn't feel so abstract. So I think a good way to open up your heart and your spiritual eyes when you're in grief is to take it day by day. So you're just moving toward the next right thing. I don't know if you guys all have children in your lives, but I imagine if you do, you know a lot about Frozen. Big in my house. Frozen is real big. I know all the words to Let It Go. I will bust it out for you if you want me to later. And I know lots of the monologue of Frozen. My daughter, she's not here. My daughter used to listen. Oh, she is. Oh, no. Sorry, Elle. I'm just going to share real quick that she used to listen to Let It Go on repeat to go to sleep at night. That was horrific. Like it was so cute at first, right? She just really loves it. She's connecting with Elsa. I think Elsa's like the best feminist character in the Disney princess thing. And then I was so done. Like after a week of listening to that just on repeat, if I never hear that song again, it will be too soon. But then we had another kid who discovered Frozen, and now we have to listen to it again. We have to watch it again and again. So if you have a child in your life, you know Frozen is a big thing. But I don't know how many people saw Frozen 2. I don't know that it's as good, but it's real deep. There's some real deep aspects of Frozen 2. And believe it or not, there is a song in Frozen 2 that I think is applicable here. So as you're moving through your grief, I think that it's all about you taking that step at a time. So this song in Frozen, I didn't actually write down the name. Maybe my kids know it. But the lyrics are, so I'll walk through this night, stumbling blindly toward the light, and do the next right thing. And with it done, what comes then? When it's clear that everything will never be the same again, then I'll make the choice to hear that voice and do the next right thing. Who knew Frozen could be so deep? I had no idea. I had to watch the movie like 3 times for me to really get it. But I think that's really, really beautiful illustration of just, you're stumbling around in the dark, you're listening to that voice of the Lord, and you're just trying to make it to the next day. You're just doing the next right thing. So I think some other practical things are very obvious, like praying and reading your Bible, right? You need to have the word of the Lord in you. But I also think something to help you take that next step and look beyond the veil is community. I don't think we can do this stuff without other people. Community can lift you up out of that muck and mire. You can lean on one another, and we can remind each other to look beyond the veil. I, believe it or not, am an introvert. And I like to deal with my pain all by myself. I think that I'm a strong, independent lady and I don't need anybody. But when I tell you I could not get off my couch when my brother died, when I tell you that my friends showed up, they showed up. They just sat with me. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk memories about my brother. I just want to sit there. And I had so many wonderful people who showed up for me, cooked, took care of. I just had Eliana at the time, not Elijah, but helped with Eliana and Eric too. Obviously, he was the best. But it was really important for me to have that type of community. So Eric and I used to work in Colorado. Eric is originally from Colorado. And we started working at his home church there in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I met a woman there who was going through some really difficult things in her life. And I told her, I don't understand how you have so much joy still. Like every time I see her, it was just another really horrible story. And I was like, girl, are you gonna make it? And she just had this smile about her and she just had this light. And I asked her, how does she do that? Because I need some of that. And she told me that she writes down every time the Lord has shown up for her. Small things, big things. She just keeps a journal of it. So I wanna encourage you guys for that, because she said, anytime she's like, God, do you see me? God, do you see the trash that's happening right now in my life? She can look back and see, wow, he was marking my steps each way. He showed up for me all the time, every single day. And she said she's done this for like, I think 15 years. So it's stuff she doesn't even remember, you know, to be able to look back and see the Lord's work and see the Lord giving her this little taste of looking past the veil, looking beyond that, and when she's grieving. I think that when she does this, she's reminded that God still reigns. He's still on the throne. He loves her, he sees her, and he knows her. Even when we feel like that's not happening, we serve such a good God. And he sees you and he knows you and he's right there with you. I have a story, my last story. I'm big on stories. I don't know if you guys can tell. But this one I'm not gonna cry in. So Eric and I had just had our second child. And within a few days, we went from excited parents of two kids to being in the hospital and me fighting for my life. And we were there for, I think, over a week, right? Maybe, yeah, a little over a week. In the midst of all of this, doctors keep giving us worse and worse news. And I think I just had a moment of like, wow, I don't think I'm gonna get out of this one. And it's late at night, the doctors have stopped prodding me and poking at me, and it's just Eric and I in the hospital room together. And Eric always likes to have, he's the noisiest, quiet person I know. Maybe that's how I would describe it. He is forever making sound. Like, he's grunting if he sits down. He's playing music. He's listening to a podcast. He's tapping. Or he's just a lot. He's doing a lot all the time, making a lot of noise. So it was no surprise to me while we're in the hospital that he's like, I think we should play some music. And he just has it ready. He also brings his wireless speaker with him all the time. So he plays, he starts, he's like, let's have some worship together. So we're in the hospital, Eric puts on some worship music. And to be honest, I'm not listening. I just keep having in my head, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die, like I can't get it out of my head. And Eric plays this song, Give Me Faith. It's called Give Me Faith. Wait, they're arguing about it. I think it's called Give Me Faith too. So in the song, there's this, I think it's the pre-chorus, but it says, I may be weak, your spirit is strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. It just changed the game for me in that moment, because I was able to see beyond my failing body. And even if it ended up that I was gonna pass away, I just remember thinking, that's okay, I'm gonna be okay. My kids are gonna be okay, because there's so much more than this moment. This moment was painful, it was really, really difficult. But that, just remembering that my body is not for, like this body is not forever. But God is forever. He's never going to fail. And I don't know at that moment why he's leading me to the end of my life when I just have like a week old baby and a 7-year-old daughter. Not how I would have planned it out. But I just know that it was a moment where we had to come down on our knees and just worship and just praise the Lord. So my third practical tip would be worship. Even in your pain, even when you're mad, even when you feel like God's not listening, worship. Eric was telling me we were reliving our trauma together while I was telling him I was going to send that story. And he was saying, even for him, right, he's scared. He's going to be a single dad. And he said, those words of that song and sitting there and actively worshiping with the Lord helped to shift something for him. And we both knew we were gonna be okay. Plot twist, I didn't die. Thanks. Real excited about that ending. And we were out of the hospital after a week. But I think that's the closest I've come to death. And it was very weird because it was real slow. I always imagine an instant thing, but it was real slow and really, really scary. But God showed up in a big way. So I think that there's a lot of painful moments that we're going to experience in this life. But we have to have faith. If you see something that's discouraging you, you need to ask the Lord to open the eyes of your heart and to fix your eyes on the unseen. I'd really like to pray for all of us, if that's all right. Lord, thank you so much that you can open our hearts and our minds to the unseen, that you don't want us to focus just on what's right in front of us, Lord, but that you have a whole world and a whole plan for us beyond the veil, that you want us to walk in your ways, that you don't want us to live in despair and pain, but you want us to thrive, to live like free people because you have freed us. Lord, I ask for every person in this room for that freedom. Would you open all of our hearts and all of our minds to focus on you? I was writing some things down during worship, and I definitely just felt like there's a crying out. There's a desperation. Some of us are grieving in this room. Some of us are in a lot of pain. And I just felt like God wanted to say, I see you. You're not by yourself. So God, thank you for showing up for us, that you want to set us free from this pain, that we're not by ourselves. Holy Spirit, would you just fall on these people now, on all of us, Lord, and help us to fix our gaze on you. Help us to know that there is so much more. And in those really, really hard times, God, when we can't see past our own pain, would you show us your plans? Would you show us your love? And God, would you help give us hope? Hope in the midst of all of that mud. Lord, we trust you and we believe. Would you set the captives free, Lord? Amen. Thank you.